We're starting a new series as we open this new year together. It's called the Justice Series, and I'm going to do the first part today. The first part is called Trembling at His Word. We're going to be reading from Isaiah 66, and we're going to go through the entire chapter in this series. This morning, we'll just do the first six verses, but we're going to look at each of these verses and what they say to us. Isaiah, the greatest, one of the greatest of all the prophets, perhaps the greatest, certainly the greatest of his day, but this spectacular book of the Bible concludes with chapter 66, which is just the pinnacle of God and his word. There's so much prophetic in here. There's so much that's instructive. I think it's just a wonderful, wonderful chapter that we can look at it in detail together. We want to look at this chapter. I want to start with the first six verses, and I'll read all six verses, then we're going to come back around and look at each verse individually. Let's stand together in honor for God's word as we look at this prophet. Oh, the prophet Isaiah, by the way, was martyred later. But here he writes, and he concludes this magnificent book of the Bible, and it says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me, or where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. But he who kills an ox is like one who slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering is like one who offers swine's blood. He who burns incense is like one who blesses an idol, as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations." Verse 4. "So I will choose their punishments," plural, "and I will bring on them what they dread, because I called, but no one answered. I spoke, but they did not listen, and they did evil in my sight and chose that in which I did not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hate you, who exclude you for my name's sake, have said, 'Let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy,' but they will be put to shame. A voice of uproar from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who is rendering recompense to his enemies." You may be seated within this powerful word of God. What a chapter to start the year with, and I think appropriate with so much that's going on in our culture, so much that's happening worldwide. Let's go back and look at the first verse, and then I want to talk about it for a moment. It says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest?" Heaven is my throne. God is above all. He's beyond. He's above all things. Now listen, you cannot contain him. You cannot manipulate him. Now we might be able to manipulate a friend or an acquaintance or somebody at work or even a family member, but you cannot manipulate God. He's consistent. He's steady. He is and will always be. You cannot coax him. You certainly cannot box him in to your perception of what God should be. You can't conform him, and you can't reinvent him. All of this is coming out of this statement, heaven is my throne. The scripture goes on to say here in this first verse, earth is my footstool. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Every thought, every motive, every past of our failures, and I've got many of them, you might have a few yourself, every future with God's completion in my life and yours is underneath the footstool of God. The commonness of man, our petty needs, it's not he doesn't care, but they are petty needs, ambition. It's where his foot resides. God is enthroned and his throne is in heaven, but his foot rests on the footstool of earth and all that's down here. So it's not that he doesn't care, but it's understanding that we need to have that we are secondary to God himself. God himself is primary, above all, paramount, first, above. We live at a very interesting time in this nation. People might be rejoicing that President Trump won the election, but I want to note something here. America is incredibly divided. 75 million people voted for Kamala Harris. That's 48% of all the vote came in for her. With her abortion banner, with her LBG standard, with everything that she brought in of darkness or wanted to, half the nation or nearly voted for her. Now, God sees all of this. And I'll get to Trump in a minute, lest you think I'm trying to lift him up. Let's get there in a moment. But let's look at the second verse where it says this. For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. Now, there are three obvious parts to this scripture of who God is looking to and for. Humble is the first one, the humble man. This is a man among men. This is not related to God. This is humility related to other men. Numbers 12, verse 3, talks about Moses, where it says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. So God chose the most humble man, not just in that particular culture, but on the whole face of the earth, to lead his people and to bring down the powerful, powerful nation of Egypt. Probably at its pinnacle, and a lot of archaeological research has been done, but boy, it was probably right as it was peaking that God sent in the most humble man on the face of the earth. Secondly, it talks about the one who is contrite of spirit. Contrite of spirit. Now, God is spirit. You know that. God is love. God is spirit, but contrite of spirit. So this is related to God. God is looking for someone, woman or man, but particularly the men here he's talking about, but both. He's looking for someone that is contrite of spirit related to him. Not someone that is looking as God as his buddy, pat him on the cheek, go here, do this, I need this and that and the other thing. Not at all. Someone that's contrite of spirit before God. And third, and this is, of course, the title of this first of the series, trembles at my word. Trembles, not just read it, but trembles at the word of God, reveres it, fears it. I believe very, very few qualify for these three attributes of a man or of a woman. So in summary, where we've been on this verse, the humble or broken man, contrite, by the way, the Hebrew means smitten or dejected. Smitten or dejected. In other words, the world has rejected this man, this woman, because of his stance, and trembles at his word. Now, the Hebrew for trembles means fearful. It means to be careful. But it literally means to shake. Boy, I mean, we have so lost this as a culture. We read everything, anything, the Bible, one more book, no big deal. But who trembles? Who shakes when they see the Word of God or read the Word of God and realize the magnitude of what's being said and actually believe it and actually have faith to understand this is huge, what God is about and what God is saying? The wandering eye of God, his eyes look for a man who is humble, contrite, and trembles at his word. Let me read from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. I'll just read it for us. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." Of course, the question quickly comes, what's your heart all about? What are you looking for? What is important to you? What do you live for? Why are you breathing? God is looking across the world for whose heart is completely his. "For the eyes of the Lord search across the world." Let's look at verse 3. Long verse, but I like to read it. Verse 3 says, just so you understand, as I get into this verse, he's just talking about everybody in the front end. That's what's going on here. "But he who kills an ox is like one who slays a man." In other words, they're all before God. "He who sacrifices a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck." In other words, anybody. "Who offers a grain offering is like one who offers swine's blood." "He who burns incense is like one who blesses an idol. They have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations." This word delights, their soul delights in their abominations. The Hebrew here means to be pleased with or likes. In other words, they're pleased with their abominations. They're pleased with what they like. Nearly everyone likes evil. There are a few, hopefully you're one of the ones, that loves righteousness and loves the Lord Jesus Christ and wants to live fully and completely for him. We were going through the mall the other day, my wife and I, and it was the most amazing thing to see. We're just walking through one of the big malls here in Orlando, and there were a lot of people walking by us. And the first was a couple. They were lesbians. And these two women were all over each other. So they walked by us. The very next one had a shirt on, said Rolling Stones, and there was a huge tongue. It's kind of the symbol of the Stones. So that was pretty awful. Then the next one had this pink hair. This is a woman, had this pink hair sticking straight up in the air. Then there's about four or five girls that were all dressed provocatively. Next one came by swearing. I'm thinking, this is quite a parade. Next one came by this huge guy, a beast. One that came right after that had all these neck tattoos right up to his chin on both sides of his neck and across his front. And he had a girlfriend with him, and she had full sleeves. You know what a sleeve is, right? The tattoos that go all the way down the arm. She had full sleeves, and I'm thinking, well, this is an amazing group here. It talks about swine's blood and blesses an idol. They've chosen their own ways. There's a great march toward oblivion. The hound of hell is calling, and they're responding to the hound of hell. The world's music, by the way, have you realized how much the world's music is deafening people so they can't hear? They just have their ears filled with the world's music, movies blinding, friends deceiving. I mean, it goes on and on. We live in a culture we need to be awake to. Let's look at verse 4. It says in verse 4, so I will choose their punishments, plural, and I will bring on them what they dread. Because I called, no one answered. I spoke, but they did not listen. They did evil in my sight and chose that in which I did not delight. This word punishments literally means ill treatments, plural. I believe punishments in eternity, that's not for you, believer, but punishments in eternity for non-believers are individually doled out to each individual's dread. Woo, what a statement. When they stand before the great white throne, judgment of Revelation 20. This happens, the great white throne judgment happens after Satan is finally joined with the Antichrist and the beast. The three of them are there, and they're bound forever in hell. So the great white throne happens after that, and the great white throne happens before the new heavens and new earth. So there's an in-between time between Satan's final binding and the new heaven and new earth, which is called the great white throne. Personally, I believe this may go on for thousands of years. Every individual will be brought before the throne of God, and every individual will have their life reviewed, their past attempts, failed attempts, God's attempts to reach them, rejected by them, each individual sin, motive, and effect. It says there in verse 4, I will bring on them what they dread. Again, the King James means, says literally, fears, plural, upon them. The exact retribution crafted for each of their individual sins. You don't hear this very much. As a matter of fact, you hear it almost none in the church anymore. You might have heard this in the 1880s. You might have really heard it in the 1770s. You might have heard it during the first and second Great Awakening. But now the church sleeps. Except God still has voices. He still has a mouthpieces that he means to bring truth. The lost have dreads. I pray you, believer, have none. You need to dread nothing. You don't have to dread death. You don't have to dread tomorrow. You don't have to dread this afternoon. You don't have to dread rejection, right? You don't have to dread your friends turning on, your family not being what you want them to be. You have nothing to dread. Not that you don't have issues, but the dread does not come on the believer, certainly not meant to. Now, we can pull it towards ourselves, but you'll consistently find the Spirit saying, oh, no, I am here to comfort you. I'm here to lead you. I'm here to direct you. But for the lost, their dreads are real. and they will come upon them specifically. Verse 4 continues, but said, I called, but no one answered. Christ calls. The Spirit whispers. He's very gentle, but very God. Scripture says, he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will never be forgiven them. You can blaspheme against Christ and repent and be forgiven, but you blaspheme against the Spirit, never can you have forgiveness for that. So we need to be very careful when the call of God comes. Now, he's calling the world, but the world is refusing that call. The voice of the Father is like no other voice at all. It says, I spoke, but they did not listen. I spoke, but they did not listen. I believe God will remind everyone of the multiple times he spoke to them and the many different ways he spoke to them. He speaks to them through his word, his servants, circumstances, and even judgment on others. It says, chose that in which I did not delight. Chose that in which I did not delight. We have an issue here. Now, I'm not saying President Trump doesn't stand for some good things, but I cannot call him a righteous man. His wife just came out very strongly, you're aware of this, pro-abortion. Melania. He just made the highest ranking cabinet, and if it confirmed, for his Treasury Secretary, who was a gay man, married since 91 to another man. This is problematic for this country. I understand he got more votes than the other side, but wow, this is not good. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is now, but when the church departs, as she soon will, when he chooses to call his church heavenward, the Spirit pulls back, as you know as well. Now, when he departs, the Spirit and the church, he's going to leave some things. He's going to leave his word. He's going to leave prophets. The kings of the prophets will soon be here. The kings of the prophets. I'm talking about the two witnesses. Now, wrath's motive is judgment. Get this now, okay? Wrath's motive is judgment, but it's also to bring fear on others to turn them to heaven. So it's both. Sure, it brings judgment, but it also is meant to turn people's hearts and lives and eyes towards Christ and towards heaven. Hell's motive is punishment, but there with it is also the invitation to heaven. The invitation to heaven. Verse 5, it says this, hear the word of the Lord. You who tremble at his word. And of course, this is the title of this message. Your brothers who hate you, who exclude you for my name's sake, have said, the Lord be glorified. This is sarcastic, of course. The Lord be glorified that we may see your joy, but they will be put to shame. Now, this verse is for the believer. If you're a believer, this verse is for you. It says, your brothers who hate you, who exclude you for my name's sake. The true believer will experience rejection. The true believer will experience being excluded, exclusion. The true believer will experience demeanment. You're listening to this, right? Demeanment. As a matter of fact, 2 Timothy 3:12 says these powerful words, all, does that say most? It says all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So if you're a believer and you're going to walk with Christ, get it. You're going to endure exclusion, demeanment, persecution. It talks about brothers. I take this pretty broadly. Sure, it's family, and I know what that means. But it can also mean workplace, acquaintances, the world. This scripture is really fascinating when it says, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy. That is sarcasm that's going on. The deceivers, to your face, they might seem like they're being nice and friendly, but behind your back, they're backstabbers. And Christ sees them. God sees them. It says they will be put to shame. The promise of justice. This is talking about the justice series we're in the middle of, but the promise of justice means you can rest that God sees and will deal with those that have stabbed you in the back or rejected you or excluded you or indeed hated you. The tremblers. Do you tremble at God's word? I think he's looking for tremblers. What a strange phrase. You hear, well, he's looking for the righteous, he's looking for a good man, a good woman. But here I think he's looking for tremblers, the people that read his word and look at his word and go, whoa, this is something. This brings my heart to quake, to fear the Lord. Oh, to be one of the tremblers. Let's look at verse 6, last one for the morning. It says, a voice of uproar from the city, a voice from the temple. The voice of the Lord who is rendering recompense to his enemies. God's voice has gone out. God's voice has gone out to his enemies. Let me see if I can give you some context, okay? November 12th. Something happened that was very important. We have 50 states, number of territories that are under the United States. Only one, their legislature set forth that every public building and every public school up through university level that was state-sponsored in any way, had to have the Ten Commandments posted in a prominent position. And this was voted on by the Louisiana state legislature. And I rejoiced in that. It's the foundation of all jurisprudence, all judicial understanding. The Ten Commandments is the foundation. And what could be wrong with saying you shouldn't lie, commit adultery, or murder? It doesn't say kill. It says murder in the Hebrew. Okay. But on November 12th, a federal judge in Louisiana struck it down. So now we're back to zero states that recognize the Ten Commandments from their state legislators. You go, no big deal. Really? No big deal, Louisiana, right? 3:30 a.m., drunken revelry going on in the same state, Louisiana. You say there's no correlation. Oh, really? And a maniac with the Islamic flag, ISIS, plows over 50 people, 14 dead, and no one can understand what in the world's going on. But we as the people of God are not ignorant. We're not blind as we follow the Lord and follow His word. God's voice is rendering recompense. By the way, the rendering of recompense of God, and this is terrifying, it's final. There is an end of time for repentance. Ooh. The end of time for turning, for salvation. Scripture says in Genesis 6:3, my spirit, capital S, will not strive with man forever. And of course, it goes on in the same chapter, talk about Noah found favor. But a man, a nation, the world can come to the end of Christ Jesus striving. It happened during the deluge, and as the church goes away, it's going to happen again. Just read the last book of the Bible. Christ was powerful in his statement in Matthew 12. Let's turn over together, Matthew 12, and a little bit of a long scripture starting with verse 30, but I'd like to read it. This is Christ Jesus dealing with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And you already know this, that he had the harshest words for the hypocrites, for the religious leaders that were jokes. He who is not with me is against me. I'm reading from Matthew 12, verse 30. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. I've already quoted this one. But blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. For whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. This is, of course, understanding repentance. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Verse 33, either make the tree good. Boy, what a scripture for the church. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten. In other words, black, white, in, out, sheep, goat. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you, this is of course Jesus speaking, and I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Powerful from our Lord Jesus Christ. We heard in verse 2, but to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, who trembles at my word. And then it goes on again in verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at my word. Lord bless you and keep you.